Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers episode 49. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks, I'm here.
G'day, mate, you're back from...
Wrong coast, but yeah, I was over there.
That's true, I must apologise to people listening in America because that probably sounded horrendous.
Hey, can't you see I'm walking here? I was more that side.
Okay, fantastic.
Cranky New Yorkers.
Pizza, pastrami sandwiches.
Hot dogs, so many hot dogs.
Yeah.
Philly cheesesteak.
Oh, you did have one?
Yeah.
Okay, explain it. Explain it again.
Okay, so normally it's like a hot dog bun stuffed with steak.
Nice.
Cut up
like
steak.
Like a steak sandwich.
Yeah, kind of like pulled pork, but steak.
I got a lot of time for that.
And then onions, cheese, condiments on top. But I flipped it. Missy Elliott style, put my thing down, reversed it.
I
had one turkey instead of beef.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, get the beef steak out.
I like turkey sandwiches there.
I'm all about turkey. I eat a lot of turkey.
Okay.
And so, yeah, had a turkey cheesesteak.
Making me hungry. I was hungry to begin with, to be honest with you. Well, we've got a lot to talk about with your trip. You were at Comic-Con. You were down in Flow Rider's territory. And I was here. But I was watching stuff as well. Cool, different stuff. I've been trying to watch more eclectic things.
Okay.
Well, not eclectic. Eclectic for me.
Sure. Stepping out those boundaries.
Exactly. You've got to do it sometimes. We've got some... stories of the, like, newsworthy stories. And also, I've got a quiz that's right up your alley.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been quizless for a few weeks.
Well,
so I'm ready.
I'm throwing it back at you.
Tickle my quiz button.
First off, though, a bit of sad news. Mm-hmm. The other day, Selma Blair shared on Instagram that she's got multiple sclerosis.
Yeah.
Not good at all. She found out only recently, but it looks like she has probably had it for about 15 years.
Wow.
She went to the doctor because she thought she had a pinched nerve, okay. I think she said in her leg, and then suddenly after some tests and MRI tests, funnily enough, and I use the word funny in a different term there, the doctor is the brother of Elizabeth Berkley from Saved by the Bell and whatever that show Showgirls movie was.
I remember that. Not vividly well.
No, but you remember that it existed.
Yeah.
And what's she doing on there? So they did the tests and she's got multiple sclerosis. She's working on a Netflix show called Another Life at the moment, and apparently they're being very accommodating and understanding with her newly discovered diagnosis. So hopefully she'll be able to continue working for as long as possible, because I could imagine multiple sclerosis and having a medical issue in America is probably quite expensive.
Yeah.
And I know she's done well for herself, but if you continue working, you get the health insurance, right?
Yeah, sure.
I would imagine it's the same if you're an actor. So, yeah, we wish her all the best, and she's sort of still working on this. Oh, but by the way, it's sort of like a sci-fi show, and she plays a 21st century media influencer.
Mm.
I don't quite know what that means, but I'm probably going to watch the show.
Lots of shots at the beach with a palm tree.
Hashtags as well, I would imagine.
Yeah.
A few hashtags. Did you see anything in the news that grabbed your attention?
Yeah, so a couple of things from Netflix. One, a few weeks ago they cancelled Iron Fist, and then a few days ago they cancelled Luke Cage.
Oh, there's been uproar about that.
Well, potentially I could see them bringing both back together as the Heroes for Hire.
Cool.
Which is a comic series that starred both of them, so it could happen.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Disney are launching their streaming service, so maybe they can come back there. Or just don't.
You were never a fan of... Well,
they were fine.
You liked Iron Fist.
I enjoyed Iron Fist. Season 2 was significantly better. Luke Cage was fine. I didn't love Jessica Jones season 2, if it goes, I'm not as surprised.
You're all right,
but
with
I don't think that will be the case. I think they'll keep Punisher, Jessica Jones, and Daredevil.
Jessica Jones a bit of a darling of Netflix, or at least for the time being. Netflix, they do tend to get rid of shows that. because you don't know how many people stream it.
Yep.
You've got no idea how popular it is. It's mainly just who's talking about it. That's all it comes down to. It's like this general vibe. It's like the Constitution, you know.
Well, both shows apparently had big creative differences behind the scenes. So
That might have. Yeah, you're right.
They announced today that Disenchantment is getting two more seasons. One next year, one year after.
Doesn't surprise me.
Matt Groening.
Yeah, exactly. So they've already got an audience simply because he's behind it.
Yeah,
and you know. It's funny. It's all right. I've watched a few episodes. It was funny. It had me chuckling away. It was the kind of show that I would be able to sit down and watch, no problem. Very watchable.
Sure.
Yeah.
The other one that's got me excited is Guillermo del Toro is doing Pinocchio.
Oh, cool.
For Netflix.
So will that be a live action?
Stop motion animation.
Oh, nice. Ooh,
so in the style of Coraline. That sort of stuff.
Fun.
Yeah.
And that'll get an audience for sure.
Oh, especially if he goes really dark with it, like you'd hope.
Oh, it kind of goes with his name.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you're going to get something a little bit different.
Yeah. So I thought that was a pretty cool piece of upcoming gear that I'll be
excited
for.
That is cool. Particularly, yeah, Netflix is getting a lot of stuff. Last week we were talking about how they're getting Dracula, which looks interesting. Mm. 90-minute episodes or movies. It's three-part installment, so it looks like it's bigger than Ben-Hur.
Hopefully it won't suck.
Yeah, I know. Fingers crossed, right?
The only program dumb enough to cross the streams. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I saw that there's a reboot / remake of Party of Five.
Oh, I wrote that down too.
Yeah, I really like the premise.
I wrote down Party of Five reboot, but why?
Well, I think the reason for the reboot is because of the twist they've got, the slightly modern twist on it in that it's a Mexican family. They moved the family 20-odd years ago and now suddenly the parents have been deported.
Right.
Very timely.
Yes.
So suddenly the – what was he – what
Scott
was,
Wolf?
No, Matthew Fox's character in it. Anyway, the eldest son now suddenly has to take care of the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why. I think it's going to have a different feel because they won't be mourning the loss of the parents. It won't be a grief-stricken family. It'll still be grief-stricken, but perhaps there's...
I could say a bit more of a fighting spirit.
Yeah, fighting. There could potentially be light at the end of the tunnel. It's going to be on Freeform, which is one of the... It's owned by Disney. It's a cable channel over in the US. So I reckon it will get picked up. They're only making a pilot at the moment.
Sure.
But I reckon it's going to get picked up.
Yeah.
Simply because of that. It's very newsworthy.
Yeah.
What else did you see?
So Halloween had the biggest opening for a slasher film ever.
Unbelievable,
isn't
it?
77 point something million.
Unbelievable. I can't remember which website it was, but they were talking about the fact that there's a female lead right there, a woman in her 50s, charging ahead box office-wise. Perhaps Hollywood should start looking at older women for lead roles in action and horror and whatnot. But I think it's an exception in that it's Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes, returning to the role.
Exactly.
That she says, I will talk about a new show that I've been watching a bit later, and that she's interviewed about Halloween in there, and she says quite honestly, on her tombstone, it will or look like the when she dies, the newspaper on that day will say Halloween actress dies, because
it will.
That's what she's remembered.
It will.
In the same way that her mother is only really remembered for Psycho,
mm-hmm.
she did plenty of other stuff that was great, but Psycho was the high point. That's what Jamie Lee Curtis, and
she's
awesome.
Right. She is.
So with that news of it being big, of course that means that the producers of Friday the 13th are now fast-tracking
a
reboot.
Yeah.
Which is great because it's, you know, as much as people say that slasher films are misogynistic and this sort of stuff, they're not. They generally deal with the final girl trope, you know, the heroine, the one person that makes it away at the end is the smart girl.
I'm kind of thinking of... stuff like, I know he did last summer now.
Scream.
Yeah, Scream. Absolutely. Yeah.
And pretty much any good horror film, you know, Texas Chainsaw, all the good ones have a strong female lead.
Mm.
The more humanity they're given, the more you care.
Mm.
Yeah. Except for the Friday the 13th movies. Michael Myers is the good guy in those.
His name is probably one of the most famous names in the world. And I love the fact that it's just such a normal name.
Yep. Well, they make a great joke in Baby Driver for masks rob a bank. One of the guys gets told to get Michael Myers masks.
Oh, yeah.
And he buys Austin Powers.
Mike.
Yeah. It's very solid.
That's good. Yeah. I like that joke.
Yep.
What else did you see in the news?
So Wonder Woman 1984 has been pushed back 7 months to mid-2020.
Do we have any idea as to why? What the problem? Is there a problem? What the hold-up is?
I'm guessing it's more to do with DC trying to work out what they're doing with the rest of their films.
Okay.
And give it a bit more room to breathe.
Because that's, at this point in time, depending on how Aquaman goes, it's kind of their strongest.
Yeah, they've got Aquaman, Shazam, and Wonder Woman 2, they've got on the cards. Mm. And so there's all this talk of Henry Cavill gone, Henry Cavill back, Ben Affleck gone, Ben Affleck back.
And people are a bit exhausted about that whole...
Martha.
Yeah, I don't really. Yeah. He's in The Witcher, Henry. I mean, I think he's going to be a bit busy.
Yeah, let him do that.
Let him be Geralt for a while.
I don't need to see another mopey Superman.
It's funny the way you look at things being pushed back. You look at movies being pushed back and you think, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Something must be terribly wrong. And then you hear video games being pushed back and you think, give them more time so that I get a game I like. Isn't that funny the way the public... reacts and talks about different entertainment genres.
Yeah, I love watching people panic when they say a film's going back for reshoots. Reshoots are a great thing.
It means they're going to fix it.
Fixing it or adding to it.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. That sort of leads me to a bit of news that happened last week about Red Dead Redemption, about how they were talking about 100-hour working weeks and then they had to backpedal and say, no, that was just the writing team and that was only for a week or two.
Yeah.
But it has sort of brought out the conversation about how perhaps when it comes to deadlines with stuff like video games, are people working too long hours? And the answer is hell yes.
Hell yeah.
Of course they would be.
Did you follow much of what happened when Telltale Games fell apart?
Yep.
Yeah.
So that was messy.
Yes, and there was a lot of overtime unpaid for with that.
Very much so. There was even that Telltale story about they obviously were not telling people because someone was hired that week.
And moved cross country.
Moved across country. Yeah. And once again, if you're suddenly not working at Telltale anymore because it doesn't exist... You don't have health insurance anymore.
I hope that former Telltale staff make a Telltale-like game about being fired from Telltale.
Oh, me too.
Where you've got a point-and-click adventure. Make the decision.
Yeah.
You've been invited to join Telltale on the other side of the country. Will you travel?
No. Congratulations, you've won the game. Yeah. Yeah, and you would imagine in movies and TV shows as well, you've got a deadline. Particularly for TV shows, if that's a week-to-week show, you have till, I don't know, let's say 6:30 on a Wednesday to get everything done. It has to be done. If it's 3 a.m., and most of it's not done, you're working till 6:30.
That's why South Park only do 10 episodes a year. They have a 6-day turnaround.
I still can't believe that's a thing.
Well, that's why they take
the
rest of the year off.
It's obviously what they do, yeah. Unbelievable. And if you've ever had an assignment at uni or school, you would know. You have to work till it's done.
And you get it done.
You do.
That crunch.
My mum's a teacher. She always says it doesn't matter how long you give people, they'll always be working up until the last minute.
I like to get things done.
You always got stuff done?
I liked to try and get stuff done by 6 p.m. the night before because I liked to be smug when I showed up.
Yes.
Look well rested.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody else has done the all-nighter.
I do the all-nighter the night before. Yep. That works. Have you... Oh, you haven't finished yet.
Oh.
I love doing those. Did you get...
I got my bibliography done
the
night before.
Did you get B? I was one of those guys when you walk out of the exam.
You were that one.
Uh-huh.
There was a girl at our school, very clever. Very smart. And she would always come out of the exam saying, oh, I went so badly. I know I've flunked that. No, you haven't. You've got the tops. We already know. You're number one.
Yep.
That was you?
No, that wasn't me.
Okay.
But I knew one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those everywhere.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Not really so much as a newsy TV or movie story, but I just thought this was interesting. Justin Timberlake's trying to sell an apartment in New York City.
Mm.
I think it's in Soho, and he's dropped the price by $400,000. It's now only $6.35 million. He wanted to sell it earlier this year for just under $8 million, and he's dropped and dropped and dropped. And I reckon it's pretty swish. It looks all super modern. It's got one of those wraparound terraces. There's a gym, a private entrance. Mm. So if you've got the spare money, buy JT's place.
Do you reckon he'd come and do a dance when you signed over the rights?
What if that's part of your conditions?
That's what I mean. What sort of things? JT shows up once a week to read me a bedtime story.
That'd be beautiful.
He can use the private entrance.
Yeah, he can. No one will know because it's private.
Oh, maybe super he secret. Can bring the rest of NSYNC.
And then, oh, yes, and when you're signing the papers over, all five of them can sing bye, bye, bye.
Mm-hmm. Maybe when Justin signs, they can operate him like a puppet.
Yes! I love it. 6.3. I wonder why he can't sell it. I suspect he's probably asked for too much originally.
Tell him he's dreaming.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Other newsy stuff?
I got a few bits from Comic-Con that I can share.
Yes, please.
How
because
about we dive into that?
I want to know all about Comic-Con. Now, this was not your first New York Comic-Con.
No, this is my second New York Comic-Con. And New York is a slightly different beast to San Diego. San Diego is very TV and film focused, whilst New York is a little more... There's a bit of the TV stuff still, but it's a little more comic industry and surrounding stuff focused. I went for the first 2 days of the 4 days, and then we went down to Orlando, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
So I only went to a couple of panels. I tried to get
in. Are they hard to get into?
So hard to get into.
That's what I would think.
So Impractical Jokers, I had no chance of
Damn,
getting into.
Damn, that's your favourite show of all time, pretty much.
It's way up there. I was a little bit gutted.
Yeah.
But I got cardboard cutouts of their faces on sticks. So it wasn't a complete wash.
Yeah. It's a good, you know, second prize.
Yeah. I went to the panel for American Gods Season 2.
Now, how does that look?
It looks really good. And I'm very confused as to what's happening with that show. Because they brought out everyone from the cast except Ian McShane. He was getting kidney stones out.
Oh, that's got a hoit.
Yep. Mm. The biggest takeaway I discovered was the kid that plays Technical Boy is nerdier than Technical Boy. Like, just really into astrophysics and talking fast.
Wow. So the casting director had a very easy job finding him.
Well, when you pair up someone with Crispin Glover and you make Crispin Glover look steady, it was quite an achievement to see this.
That's so good.
Yeah. You know, they were all there. Shadow is looking, he was looking real buff.
He has to be, Shadow. Uh-huh. I haven't seen the show. I've only listened to the audio book at the moment. So I'm very keen for there to be a second season so I can just power through.
Well, Neil Gaiman says that they should catch
up.
Was
he there?
He was there.
Yeah, I love him.
He's great.
He's so good.
He goes to a lot of these cons. I think this is my third or fourth time seeing him as part of a panel at a con.
He's basically, they don't even need to pay him at this point in time.
Well, he helped moderate the panel with Patton Oswalt. The two of them did the you know, moderate it together. It was awesome. In a really groovy old theatre. Hmm. No Gillian Anderson for next season probably no Kristen Chenoweth.
Okay.
Who were two of the bigger names in the first season. But they were very closely tied to Brian Fuller, who was the showrunner for the first season, and then he got the boot.
Then
they've had a different showrunner for the second season who had already been given the boot before this panel.
Holy cow.
So I don't know how, like, they've, from last I'd heard, they hadn't completed finishing episode 10 before this happened.
So how many episodes? Are there 10?
10 episodes. So I don't know how they will stitch that together and what they'll do.
Right.
But
yeah, that'll be interesting because I know the character Gillian Anderson was playing.
Mm.
And
she could easily morph into someone else. Because in the book, in the show, she takes on the... So one episode, she was Lucy from I Love Lucy. Mm. And
a newsreader, I vaguely remember, in the book at least...
She pops up as a lot of pop culture figures. So I can see them recasting to someone else and changed her image.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that's got a lot of potential. I'm down with that. That'll be next year some point. They didn't give a firm time. The other show that I was much more excited, which followed directly after, is The Boys.
Please give us a rundown of what The Boys is.
I will give you the quickest summation of it that I can. It's a comic book written and drawn by the same team. Oh, no, sorry, not drawn, but... written by the same writer as Preacher, and teamed up with a guy named Derek Robertson, who's been the artist behind some really crazy comics.
So we can expect some full-on stuff.
Yes. So what this story is, the main character is a guy named Wee Huey. He's drawn exactly like Simon Pegg 15 years ago when the comic first came out. A terrible accident happens, and then he gets swept up in a group that appears to be funded by the CIA of five slightly powered people who are sick of superheroes. On the flip of this group, you've got a group called the Seven, who are clearly meant to be the Justice League.
Yep.
And they are funded by the biggest company in the world that are meant to be kind of like Apple.
Okay.
And they are not good people. It is absolute power corrupts absolutely. Premise. So there might be some rapings and murders and a lot of covering up of what these people get up to. And this team, Carl Urban is playing their leader of the good guys, the boys.
Mm-hmm.
I say good guys, they're not necessarily that. They're like the ultimate black wet works CIA team. They get sent in to kill superheroes.
Right.
And wipe them out.
This is a cool new premise for a TV show.
It very much is. So yeah. Carl Urban is playing Butcher, who's the leader of the boys. And Wee Huey, this was the best part of the panel. Everyone's seen him drawn as Simon Pegg for years. Mm. Simon Pegg is too old to play the character now. They've announced who were playing everybody months ago, while they've been filming and stuff, and they showed the first footage and they were asking questions. And one of the questions was to the guy playing Wee Huey, what's it like to be playing Simon Pegg's role? He's like, oh, it's amazing. You know, Simon Pegg's one of my heroes. And, well, why don't we just ask him instead? And then they brought Simon Pegg out on stage, who wasn't even meant to be in New York at the time.
Amazing.
And he's playing his dad.
Oh, brilliant.
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
Who has a really nice, chunky role in the comics, and he's a very angry Scottish man. I can see them having a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, right.
But everything about this panel and the footage they showed makes this show look awesome.
So you're really amped. I mean, the fact that Simon Pegg's on board tells me that there's quality behind this.
Yes.
Already.
They were assuring us it's going to be at least MA rated.
Uh-huh. Oh, it kind of sounds like it has to be.
Well, look, the quote for the show, like their slogan is, fuck supers.
Okay.
And the promo shot of the boys is all of them giving the finger.
Brilliant.
So it's offensive. Some of the people that run Preacher are running this as well, but the way they've explained it is Preacher is very much a heightened fantasy world where this is fantasy in our world. So this
yep,
is superheroes
understand.
Existing
yeah.
with us. Makes how sense. Would they? How would we respond
yeah,
to people that
would
can
our
save
world
us but
be?
Also harm us terribly without a thought?
Absolute bastards. Sounds like you went to some good panels.
There were some great panels. I quickly saw a bit from Big Mouth, which is Nick Kroll's animated show on Netflix, season 2, which came out a few weeks ago, but it was just before that came out, and that was a great fun panel. Jason Mantzoukas was there, who I'm always a big fan of. He's insane. And the other bit was there's a Lost board game coming out, which, you know, I'm all about board games and the TV show
yeah,
Lost.
Yeah, hell yeah. So how, I mean, did you get much info as to how the game is played?
No, I saw, like, box art. Okay. It was just them showing off of, hey, this might be out this time next year.
Because I'd be terribly disappointed if suddenly you found out it was a Lost Monopoly, you know, Monopoly Lost version. You want an original.
This is... So I brought back this game Movie Buff that we're going to play in a few weeks.
Yeah, we are. This looks great.
And it's a company that make very pop culture specific games.
Perfect.
So I have no idea what the Lost one will be, but I signed up for the mailing list so I can find out.
Yeah, good, good. As soon as you get a bit more info, let us know because people love their board games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Their plastic surgeon doesn't want them doing any activity where balls fly at their nose. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Anything else from Comic-Con, or should we save some of it for next week? Because I know you really saw a whole heap of stuff.
Look, we could save some for next week, but I will just follow that of catching up on stuff from while I was away. I saw two movies.
Oh, yeah. Over in the US.
Over in the US. One was The Predator.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was disappointing.
Yeah, okay. The trailer looked like it could have gone one of two ways.
It went the other
way. Damn. That's a shame.
There were some dumb moments. People were clearly having fun making it, but it just didn't quite stick the landing. That was a shame.
Yeah.
The other one, I want to give a big FU to critics, because I loved Venom.
Because critics were panning the hell out of it. I was really surprised because there was so much hype in the lead up to it. And then suddenly they're like, nyeh.
It made me laugh my ass off. It was so funny.
Was it in? And was that intentional?
I believe so. Okay. And I think part of it was very, it was steeped in irony. There was tons of irony, which obviously, like, that's not an American default comedy setting. Mm. So I think maybe it rubbed that way. It's the same director as Zombieland.
Right. Yeah,
with
yeah.
Woody Harrelson
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, that's
was
a great
really
movie.
And it felt like that sort of making fun of
okay.
superheroes. And
so,
it, people complain, you know, it's like it came from the Daredevil or Catwoman period of the early 2000s when they were making bad superheroes. Well, it's an intentional thing that they're taking the piss out of that sort of stuff.
So you think people were going in with one idea as to what they thought it was going to be, and suddenly it's not, and they just couldn't get their head
that's
around
right.
it.
The trailers kind of sold it as a potential horror film.
Yeah, it did look very dark.
And it was there were parts that were almost like a comedic version of The Fly.
There you go. Wow. Where okay.
This guy is losing complete control of his body, but it was so funny. And the symbiote and Tom Hardy, like Tom Hardy clearly had a lot of fun doing two silly voices. But just the interaction between
them. He's the king of silly voices.
Oh, at one point, like the suit saves him and he's just like very throwaway. So, oh, wow, thank you. And the suit's like, you're welcome. Like, they have no reason to be as friendly as they are to each other. But
they are.
Yeah.
So if people were to go and check it out now, go in with that sort of
go with
reference.
A big bag of popcorn and ready to laugh.
Yeah.
And it just,
you'll enjoy.
There's some really funny moments. It's cool. Not a great film by any stretch. It's not, you know, it's not trying to be a very serious film.
But it can be an enjoyable movie.
Yeah. Hmm. More of that, please.
Okay. All right.
Bit of fun.
I'm glad you enjoyed it because I know that one aspect was that you were looking forward to it and the second aspect was a lot of people were looking forward to it. So it's nice to hear someone say, oh, it was
the critics slammed it, but if you have a look at any comic book sites and stuff, a lot of people are like, what do you know? This
yeah,
is
okay.
great fun.
Great.
Yep.
Good. Mm. Oh, I'm glad about that. Anything else before we sort of get more into what we've watched?
Nah, that'll do, eh?
Yeah, mate.
Mm.
You obviously were able to catch up with stuff like Walking Dead and The Good Place. We'll have a chat about those a little bit later on because I've also got an email about – well, it wasn't an email, it was a Facebook message about a particular aspect of The Good Place. So we'll
Good.
Talk about that in
Good.
A little bit.
I'm excited.
But did you catch anything else whilst you were over there?
Look, I bunched things together.
Good.
We're going to cover them off for over a few weeks because I had two 23-hour flights. So I caught up on some, and I don't want
to
watch what's on their little screen.
Nah.
I've got my iPad ready.
Yeah.
So I've got plenty of stuff that I'll hang on, but I figure today we'll talk about some of the new season shows
yeah,
that I checked out.
Yeah, go for it.
We'll start with a rubbish one. I watched an episode of, well, I say half an episode of a show called Happy Together. It's Damon Wayans Jr.
Okay.
He's a financial advisor or accountant or something.
Is it like a sitcom sort of
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, for a pop star. Like a Harry Styles pop star from Australia.
Yeah.
Who the pop star breaks up with his girlfriend, needs to go on the run, and decides to hide out at his house.
Logic. Sorry, sitcom logic.
Now,
is the Aussie singer actually Aussie?
I think so.
Okay.
Didn't recognize him.
Cool.
He walks in, he's like, I need somewhere to reconnect with normalness, so I'm just decided to move in with you people. And I turned it off after about 12 minutes. Don't put happy together. Mm-hmm. Not happy. I don't think it'll last a whole season. Magnum P.I.
Yeah, now you were talking about this a few... Well, we were talking about this a few weeks ago and you were really pumped about who the actor is. I can't remember.
Jay Hernandez.
That's right.
He's not quite as charming as a Selleck. It's a different sort of chemistry.
Could he warm up? Like, could he warm into it?
I think he will. I think he'll get more comfortable.
Yeah.
The guys playing Rick and T.C. are a lot... Like, they're bringing a lot of charisma, so that's helping bring it up. The other part, I think we mentioned this, is it's got a female Higgins.
Mm.
She's great.
Mm. Oh, good.
And it does add a very different dynamic to
nice.
The show.
Nice. Yeah, nice. So you're going to continue watching that
oh,
one?
Oh, yeah, I'm four episodes in. I'm
fantastic.
On board with this.
That sounds like you're well and truly into it. And is there an ongoing storyline theme, or is each episode sort of...
It's kind of like...
I remember P.I. was, this is the episode.
It's kind of like Hawaii Five-0 in that there's one overarching story that happens in the background and they check in on that maybe five episodes of a season.
Okay.
But each episode is standalone.
Yeah.
So that's what this is like.
Cool.
Well.
So you can jump in at episode four and
yeah.
be all right.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Hmm. I've, I, I, got this show, like, there's a show called A Million Little Things, which is very much in the style of a This Is Us. Mm-hmm. It's a drama. And you know I'm not one for dramas too often.
No.
But it's about four friends, and one of them commits suicide. Right. Everyone's in their 40s. Uh-huh. And it's, you know, the knock-on effect of everybody else. So how do they pull themselves back together and move forward? It was really good, the first episode. I have three more episodes. I cried during the first episode, so I haven't been able to bring myself to watch the others yet. I've got to wait till I'm in the right mindset.
That's a pretty strong reaction, because usually the first episodes, you haven't quite bonded with the characters yet. So for you to be, for it to be able to grab you emotionally like that.
That's a little bit of manipulation, emotional manipulation. I could see it coming a mile away and stuff, but it was quite well
done.
Still
got you, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the characters seem really interesting, and they're ones that I want to spend more time with. One of them is Romany Malcolm, who used to be on Weeds, and James Roday, who was on Psych.
So yeah, right.
People are like that.
What was it called again?
A Million Little Things.
Okay.
And it's about how with friendship, it's not the big events, it's just those million little things that you check in on each other and keep track of and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm really loving a show called Single Parents. So the pilot was great. Second and third episode were okay. But by the fourth and fifth, it seems like they've really found their groove.
Oh, good,
and
good.
I'm really quite enjoying
good.
It.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's Taron Killam, who used to be on SNL. He's the lead. Leighton Meester is in the mix. And Brad Garrett from...
What character is Brad Garrett playing?
So all these people are...
So they're all single
parents. They're all single parents. Yeah. He's... I believe the only one whose partner passed away.
Okay.
But he's got 2 7-year-old twin daughters.
Yeah, right.
And it's very funny because all he wants to do is hang out at the country club and be with his rich friends and this sort of stuff, whereas the other people are from very different backgrounds.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's the fact that they all come together and take turns babysitting so the others can go.
I was
do
wondering
stuff.
What the link was, yes. if they were not as rich, you know, if their circle was not the same as his socially.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'm going to stick with that and see how it goes. It seems to be slotting in nicely with the whole fresh off the boat, Speechless, Goldbergs, you know, that
it's got that feel to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic.
They're the Muggles, still waiting on their acceptance letter to Hogwarts. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
Anything else that you were going to put in that basket?
Eli Roth's History of Horror. Now, you might remember earlier in the year, I loved James Cameron's Story of Sci-Fi.
This looked good. I actually want to watch this.
It's real good. The first episode was entirely on zombies and about how zombies are the, not only, but the greatest achievement of American horror of the 20th century.
And I'd be on board with that, yeah.
They talk a little bit about how zombies as a concept existed before with Haitian voodoo zombies. Mm.
There's actually a great episode of Stuff You Should Know podcast where they talk about the history of zombies.
Sure.
It's old. It's probably about 5 or 6 years old, but if you can find it, it's worth watching, listening to.
Well,
gives you that whole history.
Yeah, this is a similar type thing of it's very focused on George A. Romero and starting with Night of the Living Dead, but... They shout out a lot of stuff that I wasn't expecting. You know, Shaun of the Dead gets a whole segment.
Of course, the Shaun of the Dead.
Well, how it brought zombies back. Then there's a section about 28 Days Later and the rage-infected human as to whether or not they are actually a zombie, fast versus slow zombies.
I reckon.
I don't.
Yeah, really?
I feel very strongly about it.
It's just I'm playing Dying Light and there's both of them in there.
Sure, sure.
The rage ones are so annoying.
That's how I feel about fast zombies.
Fair enough.
It's a different... The idea of a zombie is that they're slow and shambling and they get you in the end. It doesn't matter how far or away you move. It's not a speed thing.
They are the tortoise and we are the hare.
There you go. There you go. So, yeah, the first episode was all about zombies. The second one, which I watched last night, was called Slasher Part 1, and that was about Halloween, Friday the 13th, you know, the late 70s, early 80s version of the slasher. Mm-hmm. And then Part 2 next week will be... Your Scream, your Freddy. Even Child's Play got a look in.
Oh, good.
Actually, I have to say, so we went to Universal Studios in Orlando. Sorry, I know I'm jumping around everywhere.
It's fine.
Apology listeners, I'm a little jet lagged.
Halloween-y stuff.
But yeah, I went to Halloween Horror Nights.
Ah, yes, you were going to.
We didn't make it to the Stranger Thing maze. I'm sorry. It had like a 3-hour, 20-minute line.
Ew.
We went on a Saturday night.
Mm.
So it was very, very busy through there. But there was one section that was all themed to Child's Play. And, oh boy, I am more scared of toys than I thought. I wasn't bothered. Like, we walked through another area where they had chainsaw wielding hillbillies,
and that was fine. But it was the toy.
Toys.
Look, if you were there, if you saw the toys, if you saw Child's Play, if you saw the Stranger Things ride, would you call it? I don't know, what do you call it?
Horror walk maze, through. Walk through.
Let us know. Go send us an email, the Watchers podcast.
Yeah, tell me if you saw the ballet and the ballerina in the music box that was an amputee. That was.
Did that get you?
That got me more the Jack in the Box who popped out with a knife.
Okay, yeah.
And then there was a bit where you could stand in front of a wall of stuffed toys for a photo, and Chucky popped out as they were about to take photo. So you got like really genuine reactions.
You literally shivered when you talked about that.
Child's Play and me do not mix. Like, I've watched plenty of them. I think I've missed the last two or something. They really bother me. I don't like the idea of. I have a lot of toys. I don't like the idea of my toys coming to life.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, kid nightmare. Damn, it gets you. It really does. Oh, that Eli Roth show. What was it called again?
Eli Roth's History of Horror.
Man, and particularly, you know, in the next week, this is the perfect time to start watching it.
Well, that's why they've got it now. It's on AMC. It featured the first appearance I've seen of Chris Hardwick. I know he's been doing a bit of Talking Dead.
He's doing a little bit.
It's the first thing outside of Walking Dead specific that I've seen him do since shook out.
Since the drama. I finished watching Maniac.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I had heard people say, don't try and understand the first couple of episodes.
I was going to say, did you make a flowchart?
It started, to be honest with you, it went, I thought I had, by I think maybe the third episode, I was like, yeah, I think I understand what's going on here. And then by the fourth and fifth, I went, oh, no, it wasn't quite, I didn't quite have a grasp of it, but you clearly understand where it's going. It's crazy. Like, don't get me wrong, it's insane crazy, but I don't think I am exceptionally clever enough to be the only person that understood what it was trying to do.
Sure.
And where the storyline went. So I enjoyed it.
Nice.
Sally Field's in it.
Is she?
Yeah, how's didn't she expect doing? That. She's really good. She's one of those people that doesn't age.
Sure.
But then I guess if you look back to The Flying Nun, she kind of has, but she definitely doesn't look her age. And I know a lot of people only saw a couple of episodes and went, oh, I can't do this. If you're on the fence as to whether to continue, because it is actually a good story.
Okay. Is it a binger?
It's not like Black Mirror where you're like, no, I can't get through this. You can probably watch a couple and be fine. Particularly in the middle to end, where things, you start to understand where the pieces are going, and they're different enough. The episodes are different enough for you to be able to watch them.
Sure.
In one go.
Nice.
What else did you get into?
South Park has been having a pretty good run. They've come back for season 22.
Andrew said he was really enjoying it.
Yeah, there's been some pretty clever stuff lately. They had an episode where Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh...
He's back!
...came back, and he was kind of like a Brett Kavanaugh.
Oh, no.
He got put on trial, and also like Roseanne, because he kept tweeting stuff while under the effects of Ambien.
Oh,
and
man.
At the end of the episode, it was brilliant, because the episode was called The Problem with a Pooh. And by the end of the episode, they've kicked him out of town. He's like, where do I go? Where do I go?
Yes, that's the voice.
And he ends up moving to Springfield and becomes friends with a Pooh.
No!
And so then they tied into that whole A Problem with a Pooh thing of how do you deal with a racist caricature. It was very clever. And then last week, Randy, the dad, he got sick of town life and dealing with everyone's shit, so he insists that they move to a Colorado farm and start
growing
change, weed.
Tree change.
Yeah, and he starts being a weed, like growing weed. That was really clever. Like, he gets super angry about vape pens, and Towley shows up at one point. And
vape pens.
Yeah, Randy goes to burn down the vape pen factory and uses Towley as a superhero cloak tied around his neck.
Nice.
Motherfucker, I get you.
Too good.
Really, really clever stuff.
Canadians must have enjoyed that episode in the lead up. I finished another show on Netflix called Afflicted. It took me a while to actually finish it. I don't remember if I spoke about it several weeks ago or not, but if I did, pretend I didn't. It's a show that looks at people who have those sort of diseases or ailments where modern medicine and doctors are like, look, we don't know what you've got.
Sure.
And I guess to the point where they're starting to do alternative medicine and they're not feeling any better, and people, as an audience, you're not quite sure if you believe them or not. And I guess that's what other people in their in their lives would be thinking as well. You're like, come on, you've got mold. You know, you're allergic to mold and you have to live in a desert. Come on. And then you start to think, hang on a second, would you really want to live in a tent in a desert instead of Boston or New York or wherever you were originally living? You probably don't. You probably don't. And then is it psychosomatic? Like, you're not, you don't know the whole time. How, having said that, there were quite a few of the people, because they follow several people. Mm-hmm. They were diagnosed in the end with Lyme disease. Now, from what I know about Lyme disease, which is not that much, it does show many different weird symptoms. And I think in Australia, I don't know if this is the case still, but I remember a few years ago, there was the whole debate over whether Lyme disease was real or not, whether in Australia it was actually going to be as recognised as a disease.
Sure.
And, yeah, just really super interesting. And if you know someone or have lived through problems with your body that medicine couldn't figure out, and whether you sought alternative medicine or whether it just simply went away, it's a good one to watch. You do feel, it's interesting how you go from sympathy to, like, you almost look at them with a bit of a side eye glance,
a bit of skepticism.
Yeah, I just can't tell. Yeah, yeah. Sure. You sit on the wall a lot of the time, which I thought was interesting. I also have started watching Gogglebox again.
Oh, well, it saves you having to watch all the other shows.
It saves me having to watch all the other shows, right?
Yeah.
But every time I go to watch Gogglebox, I think this show shouldn't work. It shouldn't work. It shouldn't be interesting to watch other people and hear what they think about TV shows. Geez, I reckon the production company are lucky / you know, they've done such a good job finding people that you're actually interested in watching.
Sure.
Because you're watching someone watching television. It doesn't make sense.
I've never gotten through, like, one section of
it's very watchable. If you're just into watching something easy.
Yeah.
And like you said, I'm never going to watch Bachelor, but I can watch them watch Bachelor for 5 minutes to get an idea of not only what the show was about, but a general consensus as to how stuff went down, particularly with the Australian Bachelor, the male version, the finale where he didn't pick anyone.
I was going to say, what's up with the Honey Badger? I was overseas, just like, and everyone was like, bloody Honey Badger?
Pretty much what everybody on Gogglebox said.
Oh,
what the hell? Sat through all of this for that?
Social media was going off like a bucket of prawns in the sun.
Not happy, but they've got a new Bachelorette now, and let's see. I'll watch Gogglebox to find out what happened. I can't be bothered to watch it. But I didn't realise, or maybe it's a new thing, maybe it's a new narrator. She's a bit sassy. She's got a bit of the come dine with me narrator action going on.
Hang a bit of shit on people?
Yeah, absolutely. Nice. Not only the TV shows, but also the watchers. I don't know what to call them.
Okay.
The Gogglebox people.
Sure.
She throws a bit in both.
Gogglers?
I don't know.
Box watching is the thing. It's a bit much.
The Goggleboxers? Yeah, I don't know. But it's very easy to sit there and watch the whole episode.
Sure.
Anything else you've been up to before we get into The Good Place and The Walking Dead?
I will have a couple of quick ones. Over in the States, my daughter discovered that Raven Simone has a new show called Raven's Home, and it's a spin-off from That's So Raven.
How many shows? So, yeah, okay, so this would be her second solo show?
So this is the second solo show, but it's technically the second spin-off from That's So Raven.
Okay.
And I can't remember if Raven, like That's So Raven, was a spin-off itself from Cosby?
I don't think so.
I think it
was a completely different channel and production company. I think.
But this show now, Raven, it's her and her kids and her best friend and the best friend's kid all living in a house together. Oh, yeah, the eldest son gets visions and in the future. And then at some point he transfers that power to her. So the mum and son now get visions. And they work in their school has a crazy science laboratory. And
that's where they are. They hang out there.
And you know, use levitation powers. It's a really trippy show.
I thought I was going to jump in and say, so it's off the back of Fuller House success. They've brought this out. But no, it sounds completely different.
It's aimed at young teenagers. That sort of.
So they're not going for nostalgia. They're definitely going for the 5-year-olds, 5-6-year-olds.
And it's at an age now where some parents that grew up watching Raven's Home would have their own young kids?
Absolutely.
Sorry, that's
So Raven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Raven Simone. I didn't think we'd be talking about her on the podcast. But
when she was a little kid in The Cosby Show, she was very good. She was one of those little young actors who,
you know,
they just have it.
She's still younger than me.
Really?
She's only like 32.
Is she?
Yeah.
That's the problem with people like her and Drew Barrymore. They've been around for so long. If you told me Drew Barrymore was 58, I'd go, oh, yeah, she's been around for a long time. She's not. She's nowhere near that age.
Yeah.
So Raven.
Raven Simone. I watched the Adventure Time finale. I'm not going to get into it too much, but I got all sorts of feels. It was very emotional. There's been an overarching story the whole time that the end of the world would happen again, and it did, and it was...
It happened.
It was all about the cyclical nature of storytelling, but that you still need to infuse hope even when you think you know the ending is coming.
Cool. What a nice little story.
It was really deep.
Yeah.
It was not... By the end, that was not a kids' show. I mean, it wasn't a massive kids' show at the beginning, but by the very end, it was like an adult story.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And they did it really well, obviously.
Yep. It was set like 1,000 years in the future. Mm. Someone discovers Finn's robot arm and goes to ask the Grand Poobah wizard what happened, which is a weird symmetry to pretty much the beginning of the series where Finn went and seeking
answers. Obviously, they did it on purpose.
Yes. And Wrecked had their finale. The Lost parody.
Yeah.
They got hunted like it was... They were on a different island and they were being hunted for sport by rich people. And by the end, they seem to have overthrown the rich people and are probably going to get off the island. But then something happens and they just like Lost at the end of season 3. Spoiler alert for something from, I want to say, 97. 2007. There's a time jump on Wrecked now. Oh, and they've got big beards and they've been stuck on this island for quite a lot longer.
Yeah, nice. Nothing like a good time jump.
So I have no idea if they're coming back for season 4 or not. They never announce.
Would you be happy with it ending that way?
No, I'd be...
You want more?
I'd be keen for more.
Okay.
The show started out as such a silly parody thing and then...
It became a story unto itself.
Really good parody.
I like that.
Yeah.
Should we jump into a good place?
Yes, please.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1, you have been warned.
Now, are you up to date?
You know I am. Podcasts as well.
Fantastic. Well, got a message from Jazz, or Jazz, saying, have you guys gotten through the beginning of... This is a few weeks ago, but sure. I held off. Have you watched A Good Place season 3 yet? So my reply, this is a whole conversation. I said, I've seen the first few, yeah. If so, what did you think of the accent?
Mm.
Capital letters, horrible. That's what I was writing about. There are so many Aussie actors around in Hollywood. Why can't they just use one of them? And they did. There were literally other Aussies.
Larry Hemsworth.
There are others around. Why was she picked? Because they didn't know that it was a bad accent, did they? Look, if you're not from Australia, you need to know. If you do an Australian accent, no matter how well you think you're doing it or how well other people tell you you're doing it, as an Australian, we will tell you straight away, that was shocking. There's been very few people who have pulled it off. There's one person off the top of my head, Tropic Thunder, Robert Downey Jr.
Yep.
Pretty good.
I will also give Dev Patel.
Dev Patel? Yeah.
He does a great
Absolutely.
Aussie. But they're very far and few between. Well, look, Good Place had a pop-up at Comic-Con, and it was Comic-Con was two or three days after the Good Place premiered, and I went up to the pop-up and got a photo taken with a giant fork, because why not? But then asked all the people there, I said, do you know anything? Are you affiliated with the show in any way? And they're like, oh, try to play it like they maybe were. And I was like, well, can you pass on
just
a message?
Just yes or no.
The accents are awful.
Yeah.
And someone said, do you think that's not intentional?
Well, Ted Danson's, I felt, was definitely intentional. There was no reason for him to have a good accent. In fact, it was funnier for him not to have a good accent.
Yeah.
But what would be the benefit of her having a terrible accent? Is there something later on in the season?
What if she's an agent from the Good Place?
What if she's an agent from the Bad Place?
Well, no, because Trevor got sent from the Bad Place.
Oh, yeah, true.
So what if she was sent from the good side without anyone's knowledge?
Oh, please be that and not just a bad accent.
I would really love it if that's what happens.
That would be amazing.
Because I've gone back and watched the others, and a lot of the other Aussie accents aren't too bad. They might be a bit off.
There are a couple that you think, you're not an Australian. In fact, I think one of them sounded a little New Zealandish. But mm-hmm. there were a couple that were Australian,
yep.
like Hemsworth.
Yep.
And I think the girl at the restaurant, the American-themed yes. restaurant, yes. she was an
She's
Australian.
She's Aussie putting on American.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that was the hot topic that I was discussing with some of the people there of... If the bad place can send an agent,
then
and
the
Michael
good place.
And Janet are from the bad place, they have no idea what's happening in the good place.
And we haven't actually been introduced to the good place.
No, closest we've seen is the judge.
Yeah,
she's the ultimate in between.
Jeez, I love her.
Yeah,
Maya Rudolph is just.
But I'm loving this season.
Me too.
Where are you up to?
Oh, I'm up to date.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm up to date. So it comes out here in Australia, I think, every Friday,
sure.
I think. At least on Netflix. Maybe you get a little earlier. So I usually watch it Friday night or Saturday. That's when I watch it. It's not enough because, as you know, I watched the first season all in one binge. So this season and last season are a little difficult for me.
Can we talk about how amazing Chidi was this week?
Oh, Chidi was so good. And the ladies, shirt off. That guy is super buff.
That's all anyone's talking about. It's great.
He's been hiding that.
Well, they talk about on the podcast that that's paying off a joke in season one where Eleanor's talking about him and like when she's nutting it out in her head of whether or not she does actually love him.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah. And, you know, he's surprisingly jacked for a philosophy guy. And that's the payoff to that joke of like, dude's cut.
Yeah,
he's super ripped.
So ripped.
That shirt he wore was amazing. What, when, where, why? No, who, what, when, where, wine?
It was such an Eleanor shirt,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was cool. Jason's being amazing.
Yep.
Ah.
The fact that he was the first one to remember where he'd seen Ted Danson.
That shocked me.
What's his name? Jazz? Something Jacuzzi or something.
Yeah, you're the guy. Eleanor, I think, was the last person to figure it out.
Oh, she'd only seen him when she was drunk at the bar
over a year ago.
Yeah,
that's true. Such a good show. Oh, I'm so glad that there's a good place in this world.
Yep. So we only get 13 episodes again, but if they get to write them as well as they do...
Jeez, I hope that. Oh, I'm so... I've got, like, more of an invested interest in it. I just want to see that be real.
I might be wrong. It might be 16 episodes because they had the two-episode premiere.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
I have no idea where the show is going to go from now.
But you'll never know. It's the good place.
But like they've rebooted the show again, and now they're just Good Samaritans on Earth.
That's right.
Cool.
And it's a mid-season. Well, not even a mid-season. It's an early season reboot. I don't think they've done it this early.
I don't think quite this early. That said, episode one or two of season two was 801 reboots.
True. Isn't it great, though, in terms of characters? I'm thinking about Janet right now. She can't do any of her Janet capabilities, so she's not exactly the character that we love, but I'm still loving everything she does and says.
Yeah, and she's more human than ever.
Exactly, because she can't be anything else at the moment. So good. Speaking of things that are good, I have heard and seen how the drop in ratings for The Walking Dead.
Last week was the lowest rated episode ever, even more than season one when it was just starting.
Yeah, that is not good news. People, watched the first episode of this season and just bowed out.
Which is a shame because the last two episodes... Like since then, have been some of the best the show's done in years, I reckon.
What I quite liked, I liked the fact that it became a murder mystery.
Yeah, and it paid off real quick.
Very quickly.
However, we didn't find out who actually stole the ethanol. So that's going to be the whispers.
We also don't know why Michonne had blood on her arm.
Very true. I saw her lick her arm.
I was like, oh no, because it looked like bite. Like it looked like teeth marks. I went, I'm paying attention to that.
Sure. She'd been out during the night.
She could have just been a red herring, you know, for what was later on. But if I know The Walking Dead, they'll have to explain that later.
Yep.
She didn't seem like someone who had been bitten and was going to start worrying about life.
No, but it Rick didn't... did seem like, I'm going to put a baby in you because I'm leaving soon.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty obvious, wasn't it?
Don't diminish her character by making him do that.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden she just becomes the
she's
vessel.
Maggie, yeah, she's, 2.0.
And that's, yeah, mm. Maggie just for a while there was to serve of birthing the new Glenn.
Yeah. And we didn't even see that happen.
No.
She was pregnant and then suddenly with the time jump. Do you think, okay, with the underlying threat of the Whisperers approaching,
mm.
do you think that having the Saviors there now as a third party again,
sure.
will they have to band together? I don't think so, because I feel like with The Walking Dead, they love threats from all directions. So to have the Saviors be a threat, to have the Whisperers be a threat that they don't see, that they don't know about, whilst, you know, dealing with the Saviors again, and of course the Walkers, I think that's probably how they're going to tackle it. I don't think they're going to say, now we're against the Walkers at the Whisperers, we're going to have to band together again.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
I can't see it happening either. And who's going to say it if Rick's gone?
Yeah, and Maggie and Daryl left to do their own thing to go and take care of Negan at the end there. So I'm much more excited by seeing a war between the originals, between our main characters.
I'm also intrigued as to the deal that...
Are you an A or a B?
Yeah.
So
now, is that a Whisperer reference?
I didn't think so, but then I thought about it a bit more, and they're all about... Their leader is named Alpha, and yeah. her second in charge is Beta. So that could be an A-B thing, but they do not have helicopters. They do not have supplies to share.
Okay.
They
okay.
wear zombie skins and hang out in the middle of a herd.
My assumption of the helicopter was that that was the same group that the woman who arrived with the twins. And
sure.
But I'm not sure now. Now I'm not sure. Because she was quite upfront with, well, seemingly upfront as to what yeah. her intentions were, where the helicopter group are obviously, you know, trying to infiltrate quietly. I also wondered for a while if they had something to do with all the people going missing, but then that was obviously sorted out at the towards the end of the episode. We know who that is. What sort of repercussions do you think will happen?
I don't know
if there will be any.
I don't think there really can be too much, because
every life is precious.
Yeah, are you going to punish Maggie for? I have to give props to my boy Jerry for just laying it out. He's like, is this going to be a Negan or is this a Gregory?
Yeah.
That's a real nice way of saying, does this person live or die?
I'm also a little bit worried about King Ezekiel, because he keeps wanting to shack up with, make it official with Carol, and that to me spells I'm about to die.
You're right to be worried. So, okay, we're meant to lose Rick in a few episodes and Maggie in a few episodes as well, but they said Maggie may come back. It's not necessary that they'll all die. What do you reckon is going to happen? Let's throw some mud at the wall and see what sticks.
Rick's getting killed.
Yep.
He's getting killed by that Savior, the tall guy with the beard.
Oh, it's, who's from Entourage.
Is he?
Yeah, he's Billy Mitchell, the crazy coked out director.
I'm going to have to watch it again.
Every time he pops up on screen, I'm like, oh, it's Billy Mitchell.
Yeah,
he's going to fuck up everything.
What are you
everyone.
Doing here?
Yeah.
Well, and clearly he is. I think that's how Rick's dying.
Yeah.
And it will be on the bridge.
And could that be a reason to perhaps see plenty more Saviors wiped out in retaliation?
Yes.
And deal with that situation, unfortunately deplete the numbers right as the Whisperers roll in.
And the helicopter group.
And could Maggie potentially be taken by the Whisperers and
yes.
forced into a zombie skin? That way they can use a different actress until Lauren Cohen is ready to come back. Bam! I've been waiting
figured
like 4 or 5 weeks to tell you that
you
shit.
You have figured it out. Oh, I love it. Oh, we can't get better than that with the Walking Dead prediction, so why don't we just leave it there? Next week we'll discuss more, see if any of your predictions
came
true.
I'm putting a pin in it.
How many more episodes has Rick got now?
Maybe two.
Mm, okay. His death is imminent.
Mm.
Let's go to quiz time. Now, you've been over in the US,
yes.
Which means you will have consciously or subconsciously been translating words from Australian to American.
I did keep a little dictionary, a thesaurus in my fanny pack.
You really? Exactly. So I've got six Australian words, uh-huh. and I want you to translate them so that if you were back in America, Americans would understand
sure.
what you're saying. First one is bin.
Bin, as in wheelie bin.
As in chuck it in the bin.
That's a trash can.
Trash can, absolutely. I remember saying bin once offhandedly, and my friend looked at me like I was speaking another language.
Sure.
You're going to chuck what in the what? Scone.
That's a biscuit.
It's a biscuit.
That's a biscuits and gravy.
Thank goodness it's some a scone and not an actual biscuit. Can you imagine having a like a coconut biscuit with some gravy all over it?
Nah, oh, thanks. Give me biscuits and grits.
Scone. Four is thongs. Easy one. You don't go and say, pop your thongs on, please.
Oh, like sandals.
Flip-flops.
Flip-flops.
Yeah, they call sure. them flip-flops. I think they call them sliders as well. Correct me if I'm wrong, the watcherspodcast@gmail.com.
And if you're from New Zealand, yes, we know you call them jandals.
We know. Everybody knows.
Everyone knows.
Everyone knows. Number three, lemon squash.
A lemon squash. That's a
like proper, a lift.
That's a lemonade over there.
Yeah, like an old fashioned lemonade.
Yeah,
it took me ages to figure that out.
Because over there, what we call lemonade is just Sprite.
Yeah, yeah, that's their Sprite. Do they still make 7-Up?
They do. Mm. My mum ordered a lemon lime and bitters at one place.
Did she explode heads?
It was a glass of bitters with a lemon and lime.
Oh, that's like disappointing.
Cut into quarters and just put in there.
Because lemon bitters is delicious.
This did not look good.
They must have been so confused as to why she'd ordered that. Mm. Crazy lady over there. The one that won't tip because she's Australian.
No, we tip good.
Oh, you knew. You knew 20%. The rules. Isn't that the standard?
It's what you're
or is 10%
to
the standard? I can never remember.
10% is the lowest
that
you should do. 20% is what you kind of should do. 18% is what they do that's gratuity included.
Oh, right, okay.
That's 18% they'll bang on there.
Does my head in.
I know. Let's have a few drinks and do some maths.
Exactly.
Sorry, math.
So yeah, that's another one. What about footpath?
Footpath? Sidewalk.
Yeah, there's no footpath over there. And finally, if you were driving down a freeway, you would not be in your four-wheel drive. You would be in your
SUV.
SUV.
Yeah, Trans
Am. It's a little bit different, but yeah, yeah.
Sports utility vehicle.
That's right. Yeah, and now that you're back, you don't have to do the translating anymore.
Nah.
It's all good.
Fuck 'em.
Yeah, mate.
On your bike.
Yeah, try and figure that out. Chuck yourself on your bike and pedal off.
I did find a good opportunity at Halloween Horror Nights. Some guy dressed as Michael Jackson, dead Michael Jackson, ran up on
nice.
Said something to me. He's like, you're having a good time. You're here for a good time tonight. But it was more like, you having a good time? You having a great time here tonight? And I said, mate, I didn't come here to fuck spiders. The look he gave me to drop that without any context on an American, it's very special. I'm going to remember that for a while.
Oh, it's what memories are what holidays are all about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. On that note, welcome back, Tom.
Thanks.
We'll hear more about your adventures over in the US next week.
We've only just dipped our toes in.
Only just begun. Thank you.
Toodles.